Now, I started last week talking about a subject, and it's kind of like when I preached about Mark 4. It's not something you can preach about and get it done in 1 week, 2 weeks. I probably would still be preaching on Mark 4 if the Holy Spirit allowed me to. But the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about is something that you can't get done, let's say, in one message, in one service. It's something that you and I ourselves need to dig into and get the truths of God's word. Fair enough? Because we, if I can put it this way, we live in a society that has a democracy. The democracy, we elect officials, they serve so many years, and then what happens? We go vote for somebody else again. Am I right? All right. But understand, a kingdom is much different, because a kingdom has a king. And a king is born into that position. Nobody elects him. Nobody chooses him. There was a tragedy overnight where dozens of people were killed in two different locations. And already you hear the people saying different things from all different as to why it happened and what happened. See, it's different when you have a king. Say a king. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I think I'm going to go do this. Amen. I was going to save this for later in the message, but I think I'm going to jump into it right now. Go over to John's gospel for a moment. Yeah, I'm going to do that. John's gospel, and I'm going to be reading it, if you don't mind. What do I want to do? I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, if you don't mind. In verse 33 of the 18th chapter, the scribes and Pharisees bring Jesus before Pilate. So I'm just going to read a little bit of the script. Do you mind? Great, I appreciate that. Here's what it says. Jesus looked at Pilate, 36th verse, looked at Pilate and said, "The royal power of my kingdom realm doesn't come from this world." Notice what he said, say kingdom realm. You ever remember Jesus preaching a message on faith? What did he preach? Because inclusive in the kingdom is everything, including faith. I remember years ago there used to be a lot of what they called deliverance churches that would pop up. What in the world is a deliverance church? All they would do is cast demons out of people till they ran out of people with demons, then the church would close up. You see, dealing with demonic forces is all part of the kingdom. Everything that Jesus did on planet Earth all had to do with the kingdom. Now listen, but we're so used to living in the Western civilization with a president and vice president and all that goes on, we're not really acquainted with what in the world a king is. A king rules a kingdom. And Jesus came, and we'll get back to it in a minute. He came, and he said this in all the gospel, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what was his first statement about? Talking about a kingdom. Amen? And we'll get back to that in a minute. But I want you to see the conversation he had later on. He said, "The royal power of my kingdom," say royal. There you go. "Of my kingdom doesn't come from this world. If it did, then my followers would be fighting to the end to defend me from the Jewish leaders. My kingdom realm and authority is not from this realm." So his authority came from where? Heaven, down here to earth, but it wasn't from this earth. Remember the mothers came and said, "Well, when you establish your kingdom, could you allow my son to sit in your right hand and left hand?" Even the Jewish leaders of the day were saying, "Aha, he's going to free us from the tyranny of Rome because he's going to establish." No. Because we have this mentality, all of us do, that democracy, and we'll have somebody over us we vote in, and then the following week we want to throw him out of office. How many of you know there's upheavals all over the world concerning government? Something was going on in another country not too long ago, a few weeks ago, where they were rioting in the street. They don't want the guy who's over him. It happens all over. But when you understand that Jesus came to establish his kingdom here on earth, in fact, it wasn't a new thing. Because that's what he did when he placed Adam and Eve on planet earth, was to establish what? This earth. Amen? And I'm not going backwards, but let me try to do this. The word, when he said in Genesis 1:26, he said, "Take dominion over the earth." Dominion and kingdom are the same words in Hebrew and Greek. So what was he doing? He was bringing back, say bringing back, what was stolen by the enemy in the Garden of Eden. What caused Satan to gain control over Adam and Eve? Very simple thing. It goes on today. Simple disobedience. We find it everywhere. Disobedience to what? To basically the word of God. Disobedience everywhere you look. Disobedience will cancel out where we belong and what belongs to us. It still goes on today. I run into people all the time and I ask them, gee, where do you go to church? Well, I'm not a practicing whatever church they go to. I go Christmas and Easter. See, that's religion. Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. My wife and I were talking the other day and we were listening to some songs, and all the songs that came on this particular channel were all about getting out of here and going there. Then we realized we sang all these songs when we were kids. We were brought up under a religious system and didn't know it because everything was about when we get to heaven. Well, see, Jesus said, I'm bringing a kingdom here to earth. It's not about getting out of here. If he's trying to just get us out of here, why did he put us here in the first place? He put us here to establish God's authority, God's government here on earth. And Satan came along and messed it up by bringing a little word. And I think I said this last week, there was only three voices in the garden, Adam and Eve and God. And then one other voice came in. Say one other voice. Today, is there more than one other voice in our lives? I think you may have seen the tragedy that happened in the Kennedy family again. 22-year-old girl commits suicide. I mean, you look at that and say, why is a 22-year-old young lady committing suicide? Then I was reading another article this week where it said there was, there were more airmen killed because of suicide in the military than in combat. See, something's wrong somewhere. That's because we're in a government without God. But when you get in God's kingdom, the kingdom Jesus is talking about, you and I will find out we have everything that we need to navigate our life here on planet Earth. But glory to God. Let's go back to what Jesus and can I just say this comes into my spirit. Jesus was calm, cool, and collected. If it did, my followers would be fighting to the end. My kingdom realm and authority is not from this realm. Then Pilate responded, oh, so then you're a king. You're right, Jesus said. I was born a king. And I have come into this world to prove what truth really is. How many of us know what truth is? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate was about to find this out. I was born a king, and I have come into this world to prove what truth really is. Everyone who loves the truth will receive my words. What's he saying? Everyone that loves me will receive my words. How many of us don't like when the Holy Ghost nudges us because we've done something we shouldn't have, but we're thinking about it? Go like that. That's me. If we love Jesus, then we love the truth. If we love the truth, then we're saying we love Jesus. Jesus said, you can ask whatever you want in my name, and I'll give it to you, but it says, first, keep my commandments. See, if we don't keep the commandments, then we ask, and then we blame God or Jesus for not producing it. Well, the problem is with us, we don't produce it because what? We're not following his commandments. One of his basic commandments in the 1 Corinthians 13 is love, all about love. You notice Jesus doesn't say, I came to preach the kingdom of love. He didn't say that. Because inclusive in God's kingdom is love. See, it's all inclusive on the inside of that. Amen? Glory to God. Say, on the inside, love is included. Now, I know I have a problem with this sometimes, but I have to beat myself up. The Bible says love never keeps track of wrong done to it. How many of you have ever done wrong done to you? How many times do we have to forgive somebody for doing or saying something to us? That comes out of the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, we're to love with the kind of love that he's given to us and lives on the inside of us. Is it easy? Because no, if your flesh reigns and my flesh reigns, we'll want to get even. No, it's not about getting even. It's about letting go. There's no getting even in the kingdom of God. It's about letting go of everything. Amen? What kind of miracles did Jesus perform? All kinds of miracles. Don't you think right now Jesus may not have been thinking, I raised the dead, blind eyes open? Look it up. He didn't think any of those things because he was on course to fulfill the plan of God for his life. I can only speak of me. I'm on course to fulfill the plan of God for my life. Did I fight it along the way? Are you kidding me? Yes, I did. And there still are some times when I fight the call of God on my life. You've heard me say this many times, but on Monday mornings I resign and on Tuesday mornings I rehire myself. Pilate looked at Jesus and said, "What is truth?" And the Bible says here, silence filled the room. Pilate went back to talk to the Jewish leaders. Pilate didn't know what to do with the truth, because at that point, I believe, this is a Pastor Paulism, he was facing the truth and talking to the truth, and all of a sudden he knew he was in big trouble. He's a king talking to the king. Oh my God, that just got into my spirit. He was a king of earth, but he was talking to the king. Say, the king. Hallelujah. Now listen what happened. He goes back to the Jews and he says this, "I'll release one prisoner every year at the Passover. Shall I release your king, the king of the Jews?" They shouted back in the 40th verse out over and over, "No, not him." How many times maybe have you and I rejected the king and say, "Oh no, God, I can't do that." See, we can reject the king in our everyday life today, because as we walk through life and the Holy Spirit directs us, and we sometimes say, "Well, maybe a little bit later." There is no later. I have a life. God has given me a charge in life. That is to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that would take the time to listen. Have you ever run across people that don't want to listen? Oh, I got a whole list of people. But my job is to do what? How many of you know what the job of the moon is? To reflect the light of the sun. Guess what our responsibility is? To reflect the light of the sun, S-O-N, to planet Earth, so people can see and find out, my God. No, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber and a troublemaker. Whew. Can you imagine how the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in the natural must have felt, but he was on course, say he was on course, to do the will of the Father. There's a song that says, "While he was on the cross, I was on his mind." See, you and I weren't created when we were on the cross, but yes, we were. Because in heaven, God had already created us to be born to planet Earth, to take rule over Earth the same way Adam and Eve did. He knew who we were. He knew who we'd become. But he was bringing a message in his earthly ministry, say, about the kingdom of God. Say, kingdom of God. I don't want to hear more about the kingdom. You're going to hear about the kingdom, because that's what the king came talking about. In Philippians, it says this, that the king, say the king, left heaven, came to earth, and put on the clothes of a beggar. Why would a king leave kingdom and come to planet Earth as a beggar, except he was going to establish that kingdom here on earth? Even Adam knew what God told him. He said, "Don't touch that." And when they did, what happened? Sin came in and Satan stole, say he stole, what belonged to God. See, that was God's kingdom here on earth right over there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. He gave man dominion, say dominion. He gave them a kingdom, the Garden of Eden. Now, can I say something? I believe God wanted Adam and Eve to plant more gardens all over the earth. God wants you and I to plant the seed of the gospel in the hearts of men and women, so we'll see more people get saved, more people born into the kingdom of God. I thought of a joke I told years ago, and I put a spiritual spin on it. You don't mind, do you? You and I are sitting on the porch. We're having devotions together. We're just reading the word of God and praising God, lifting our hands. How many of you ever been in the hospital? I'll explain something to you. I remember when I had my foot operated on, the doctor came through, I don't want to mention what hospital, came through with like 3,000 people who are learning how to be doctors to look at my foot. I'm like, well, I'm not paying for it. My father threw people out of his room years ago. He said, "I'm not paying for all these people." He threw them all out. So they took the bandage off my foot and they looked at it. And they're all talking, all taking notes, and they all left. Never bandaged my foot up again. Excuse me, could you bandage my foot up before you leave? Amen. So understand, you and I are on the porch or having devotions together, having a great time. And here comes Satan down the block with a whole bunch of his demons talking about you and I and about how upset he was about we no longer were part of his kingdom. And you and I look from the porch and say, hey, you're defeated. And you can see smoke coming out of his head, fire. The next day he comes by again. This goes on for a whole week. Finally, the devil gets so upset, he goes before God. He said, listen, God, remember Job? Yeah. I got these two believers sitting on the front porch of their house, and every time I walk by with some of my demons here trying to train them in my kingdom, they keep saying, you're defeated. Try that. You're defeated. You gotta tell them to stop. He said, I'll have a talk with them. So bright Monday morning comes along. Here comes the enemy with all his demons looking. He looks at the front porch of you and I. I look back at him and the persons, we look back at him, look back and forth, and all of a sudden we yell from the porch, you know. Turn to somebody and say, you know. When the enemy comes in and tries to bust into your life, you say, you know, because he does know. He knows he's a defeated foe. He knows there's no access into my life or your life because of the bloodline. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ establishes a border between you and I and the works of darkness. You have to have a border. You have to have something, a defining line. Hello, I wear a wedding ring. Amen. And you know what? That defines I'm married to this wonderful lady over here. Well, do you ever take it off? Well, if my hands get too fat from eating something I shouldn't have had, yeah. But I leave it on my hand. It signifies a what? A boundary. It says covenant. It says I'm married to this young lady. See that smart young lady? This young lady over here. Let's try getting over to Matthew for a minute. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to use the Passion Version. Again, I've been reading it, and I've been just enjoying some of the scriptures I find. Amen. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, say the kingdom. I'm going to give you three words that kingdom means. Are you ready? First of all, it means rule. Say rule. A king rules. If a king makes a law, that's it. Say it's over because the king says it's a law. But what happens in Christianity? Sometimes Christianity can become like a religion. Yeah, it can become a religion because we step out of the confines of the word and get into our own kind of thinking about what we think it means. If I could tell you over the years the things I have heard about different aspects of Christianity, it becomes religion to people. People make things up. Say, make things up. I've had people come more than once and say to me, you know, I had a word, a prophetic word given to me. First thing is, if you got a prophetic word, who gave it to you? What do you know about the person that gave it to you? How do you know they're right on or right off? And people take a prophetic word and ride that thing. You can't do it. If you want a word, people say, Pastor, you have a word for me? Yeah, here it is. Because if I give it to you, it's going to be maybe a little bit tainted with a little bit of me. And you don't want that ever happening in your life. The word of God is established and forever the word of God. Where is it established? Here. And then it's got to be established here. How many times have you and I maybe have to make a choice in life and we realize this one's good and this one's bad? Ever been there? How many of us have made a wrong decision? How many have made the right decision? How many times has the good decision looked really good? And because it looks good to our eyes, we say, oh, this is, no. Who knows what's the next day going to bring? The Spirit of God. I have been stopped cold in my tracks more than once, and there's other times when I haven't been stopped in my tracks, and I can tell you which decision I should have made. My time on earth is limited to whatever God chooses to give to me. You understand that now? So my life, listen, my life and your life can be measured by how we use our time. Did you ever hear somebody say, gee, I wasted a lot of time doing that? If we're following God, we're following the Word, we're following the King of Kings, we'll never have to say, I wasted a lot of time. This is not easy preaching, but this is what Jesus said in all the Gospels. The first thing he says, repent, for the kingdom of God, here it is, it's here now. And then Nikki did such a masterful job preaching on the Beatitudes. Go read his Sermon on the Mount. Absolutely powerful. That's one of the scriptures we're going to read right now. Are you ready? Let's start with verse 25, fair enough? Because what Jesus said affects us in every level. I'm reading another Passion version. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? How many times have we seen people just go off the deep end when it comes to clothing? The newest and latest styles. Nothing wrong with that. You want to spend your money, that's totally your business. But then we don't give God his portion. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says here, seek first. And if we have time, we'll get into it. If not, next week. Look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? Don't plant or reap or store up food, yet your heavenly Father provides each of them with food. Have you ever seen a bird planting seed? God says, everything on planet Earth belongs to you. He'd like to say the same thing to us. Everything on planet Earth belongs to you. I'm going to take care of you. Say, I'm going to take care of you. Wow. 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 Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they? So which of you by worrying could add anything to our life? How many of us have ever worried? Why do we worry? Because sometimes we forget who is in charge and who is the king. Because if we live inside the Word and we live inside the kingdom of God, all of us would understand God's got us covered. Say, God's got us covered. Say it again. God has got you covered. Turn to your neighbor. Say, stop worrying. He's got you covered. Say, he's got you covered. Sometimes if you go to the diner and eat, God's got you covered because I buy your meal. There have been times when I've gone there and somebody buys my meal because I'm putting seed out. Verse 28. And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at all the beautiful flowers of the field. They don't work or toil. And yet not even Solomon in all his splendor was robed in beauty more than these. Verse 30. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time, and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? There have been times when my wife and myself literally have been, when I say broke, there ain't nothing. The only thing we had was our kids' piggy bank. So when they were at school, we robbed it. We'd take a couple of bucks and go buy a bowl of soup with two spoons and get as many free oyster crackers as we could. But we stayed in our position of waiting on God for what he had next for us. That time of waiting was a time of preparation, Individually, as families, God's got something big coming both of your ways. Raise your hand, guys. All four of you. The Holy Ghost just said, tell you something big is coming your way. Individually, as families, and then corporately, God's going to give you wisdom to bring it together and produce what he wants. I'm telling you, I see it all over you. I see it all over you. Glory, 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 glory. And the Lord says this to you. He said, your time of waiting is over. Because you've been patient in your waiting, God's going to now produce the harvest. And because you've waited patiently and haven't gone on your own way, there's not going to be any darnel growing in the harvest, weeds. See, when we step out of what God has said because we're tired of waiting, like Abraham did, and his wife said to him, why don't you just take my handmaiden over here and have a child? You've been waiting a long time. The darnel grew. That was a weed. Then God had to bless the weed. And look what's happened for all the generations, even to today. That seed from that young man produces what today in our world? You understand? When we step out of what God wants to try to help God, it's never going to work. God's got something coming. All right, let me get a little farther into this and we're going to go home. Fair enough? So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time, dries up and burns, won't he provide for you clothes you need? Even you live with such little faith. And then listen to what it says in the next verse, verse 31. Yeah, we're going to go in a couple minutes. So then forsake your worries. Say, forsake your worries. Forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? Or what we will drink? Or what we will wear? For that is what unbelievers chase after. Unbelievers? Yeah, because here he says, those who have such little faith. I can tell you, like I began to tell you about the soup. We had literally nothing. Say nothing. We had nothing, literally. No money to pay rent, the mortgage, no money to make a car payment, no money to pay the utilities. Everything we had in reserve was gone. But the king lived in here, and the king said he'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And I remember distinctly when I left the large ministry, and the Lord told me to call a widow up who had lost her husband and see if she needed some yard work done. Just wanted to do it, just keep busy. So I did and didn't charge the lady at all. Came home the next day in my driveway. Remember this, babe. My driveway and all the way up my sidewalk into the house were boxes. She bought all kinds of groceries, lined them up all the way into the house, fresh meats and everything else. And I came in and she was sitting right with you at the kitchen table and they were talking. I said, what are you doing here? Well, the Lord told me you put a seed into my life because my husband had passed suddenly. I didn't look at it as a seed, but actually it was a seed. She came and loaded us up with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of food to take care of us. Oh, come on, you can do much better than that. If God could sustain Moses on the backside of the desert, he can do it for you and I. Sometimes we should all experience a lack and say, okay, God, my lack is showing. Blessings on me. Hey, shout back at me. Hey. For this is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your heavenly Father already know the things your body requires? Go like this. Yes, he does. And he doesn't need our help. How many of you seen the sunset last night? He didn't need our help. If you're up early enough to see the sunrise, he don't need our help. Have you ever noticed the flowers kind of close up sometimes? He doesn't need our help. How many of you remember the mosquitoes at the last picnic? We need your help. So above all, 33, this is seek first the kingdom of God. Well, next week we're going to dig into that thing. So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. What does it say? Constantly. Say constantly. Chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Now listen to this. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. See, the problem is the less important things have become more important. Because listen to what he said. Seek after the kingdom of what? God and his. See, if we understand righteousness, we won't be striving to get all of these things over here and put them ahead of his kingdom. Remember that time, Paul, you picked up at a house, a lady had passed on, and when you went in there, there was all kinds of new things in boxes. She shopped online, and Myra had some. And guess what happened when she died? All the things we've been chasing after to get in, they're here. I preached something similar to this in the Bronx years ago. And I put the pastor, it was a Spanish-speaking church, and my friend who's gone on to be with the Lord was interpreting. And I laid the pastor on the platform. And I said, your pastor's dead. He was dead, and anything he had stays here. Okay, let's end this thing over here. Ready? Above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom, the righteousness that proceeds from him. Say righteousness. Next week, we'll know more about it. Then all these less important things that you and I will make more important and overshadow the word of God till this is on the bottom of the pile instead of on top of the pile will be given to you abundantly. Say abundantly. What does abundantly mean? More than you and I could possibly handle. Glory. But if we're chasing after that, we'll miss this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I put you to a challenge? Can I put you to a real challenge?
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, say tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I'm good. Whatever you night shift, morning, please don't do that. When you get up out of bed, and I stand on my own two feet, I'm going to raise both hands and shout, hallelujah! Well, what if somebody's in the restroom and you have to go in? You shout that in the morning, they'll get out and you go in. How many of you are going to do that now? Well, what if my neighbor hears me? Who cares? Refuse to worry about tomorrow. But deal with each challenge that comes your way. Listen to the end of this verse, then we're all done. One day at a time, tomorrow will take care of itself. How many of you know that's true? If we're worrying about tomorrow, we're taking tomorrow's energy and time to solve this problem. Then the next day comes, we're already tired before we wake up. Today, God gives you, the Bible says, as your day is, so shall your strength be. I pray some of this message that I've just hit on surfacely will help you today, seeking first the kingdom of God. If you'd like to make a decision for Christ, what does that mean, Pastor? That means asking Jesus Christ in your life, asking him to forgive you and I of our sins, because the Bible says faithful and just is God. The Bible says old things shall pass away. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you come from, what the color of your skin may be, if you're a man, a woman, a young person, old, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ died for you long before we were ever formed in the womb of our mother. He loves us and cares about us. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for another. That's exactly what Jesus did. So if you'd like to ask Jesus into your life, simply say this prayer and Harvest Church will join you. Jesus, I realize that you came to planet Earth because you love me. You left the kingdom realm and you came to planet Earth. Put on the clothes of a beggar and died on the cross for you and I. If you'd like to ask him into your life, just say, Jesus, today I need you more than ever. The world's not getting easier, folks. It's getting tougher. We see tragedy after tragedy with not knowing where they came from, and we try to dig in and find out, and then another tragedy will happen. Jesus wants to rescue you right now to bring you into the kingdom of God. I thank you and praise you, Father, as those young men and young women make decisions right now as they've listened to the word of God today. They'll make decisions to serve you, asking you into their life, become a brand new believer. Amen. What should I do next, Pastor? What you should do is find a good Bible-believing church, find out the pastor's goal, what his mission is that God's given to him, and find out how you can help him, support him with your prayer, your finances, and your two hands to get the job done. Amen?